Okay, good evening to everyone. I welcome you this evening to the Contemporary Bible Class on this February the 20th in the year 2022. I'm glad that you are here. This is one of the highlights of my week, is our meeting together and studying with you. This evening, by God's help, we will be studying from Luke chapter 16. We're continuing on in our study of Luke, chapter 16, verses 10 through 18. That's the goal for tonight, verses 10 through 18. We have a lot to cover, as usual in class, but all of these verses are just packed with our word for us. So there's a lot in these verses, and we're going to go right into prayer, and then go into the study of God's word. We want to continue to keep one another in prayer. All of us need prayer in one form or another, and the word of God has commanded us to pray ye one for the other. Not only do we need prayer, but we want to remember to pray for saints, pray for all saints. There's a lot to pray for. There's no shortage of prayer. We need to keep our nation in prayer. Our nation needs prayer at this strategic time, and there's just a lot to pray for. So without delay, let's go to our Father. Our Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We enter into your gates with thanksgiving. We enter into your courts with praise. We are thankful unto you, and we bless your name, because you are good, your mercy is everlasting, and your truth endureth to all generations. We want to say thank you for being with us all the day long. And we thank you, Lord God, for ordering all of our steps today. We thank you, Lord God, for Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. We thank you that he is our good shepherd, the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep, and the good shepherd that lives for the sheep today. And we thank you that we are the sheep of his pastor. We praise you and give you glory. And now, Father, we call on you by your Spirit to be our teacher in the word of God. Lord God, this is what we call the Bible. It is more than just a book. It is the living word of God. And it's going to stand when heaven and earth has passed away. Your word will stand forever. And so we bow in honor to the word of God. We bow in reverence to the word of God. Help us to bow in submission to the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We wouldn't know what truth is if you hadn't showed us. And now, Lord, open our eyes that we might see. If there's anything that would hinder us from receiving from you, we pray, dear Lord, forgive. We pray for the absent part of us. Never want to forget the absent part of us. For those who want to be with us, but cannot be with us for whatever the reason, but they are part of this class, we remember them in prayer. We pray your blessings upon them as well as upon ourselves, and we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to you who have joined us. We are going to continue. We're going to get right into the study of the word of God. Our text this evening will be from Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 18. And let's start out this evening. Usually I have some kind of outline in my head, at least of what direction we're going to go in. But I didn't even think about that today. So the Spirit is always our guide. So let's start out this evening. And I was praying right then, Lord, lead me. Let me start out this evening with giving an overall theme for this passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 18. As you all know, I like to outline Scripture, like to section it off, take it little by little, bit by bit. It helps us to grasp it better. And so this particular section of scripture, as I was reading it and studying it, praying, you know, that the Lord would give me understanding, what came to me was faithfulness. And I would say one of the themes of this particular passage is faithfulness. And we want to keep, especially when we get to that verse in verse 18, that verse that comes out of the blue and you wonder, why did God put verse 18 in there? Well, if we keep it in context, the scripture in context, it will help us to understand better why verse 18 is there. We're talking about faithfulness. And so as our readers will be reading the passage, and I don't see the Carthers with us this evening, so I'm going to ask, is Sister Catherine, are you there? Catherine Murphy?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Sister Catherine, when I ask for the readers, if you would fill in for Brother Carthers this evening, just reading verses 10 through 13.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and then when it's time, Sister Jordan, if you will be ready to read verses 14 through 18. If the Carthers do happen to come in, of course, we'll let them read.
Okay.
All right. So what the Lord gave me, and this is not this passage, all of God's word requires the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. But as the scripture says, and Peter, the apostle Peter said, some scriptures are harder than others. You know, they're harder to interpret. Some of God's word is milk. Some of God's word is meat. Some of God's word is easier to chew than others. There are different elements to the word of God, and all of it requires the Spirit. In this particular passage of scripture, we will be covering the entire Bible. This is a wide scripture. It's beyond measuring. And when I say this is a wide scripture, I'm particularly talking about verses 15 through 18, those verses. This is a wide passage of scripture. But then I also have to sweep in verse 13 too. So it's wide. And it's also high. This scripture is a high scripture. And it's low. It's very deep. And it's very high. And it's very wide. And it sweeps in everyone. Good to see you, Sister Barbara Ingram. It sweeps in everyone. It sweeps in Old Testament and New Testament. It sweeps in times and dispensations. This scripture, this passage that we'll be looking at this evening, is covering everything. And we'll see that. And a matter of fact, this, excuse me, this passage of scripture is, I'm hesitating because I was going to use the word everlasting, but God's word is forever settled in heaven. But I will use the word everlasting for lack of a better word. This particular passage of scripture lets us know, especially in verse 17, that heaven and earth, heaven and earth will pass away before one tittle of God's word passes. So this word that we are studying, this Bible that you are looking at in your hands, holding in your hands, or whatever device you may be looking at, this Bible, and you think of mountains and trees and cities and kingdoms and peoples and nations, and you think of all those things. And God's word is stronger and it will outlast every mountain, every nation, everything on this earth. So God's word is for, you know, it is to be reverenced. It is to be acknowledged, is to be reverenced, is to be revered, because ultimately everyone is going to have to fall down in submission to the word of God. And so this passage that we're going to be looking at today, and I need to move a little further, is going to cover a lot. But a theme I'm giving to it is faithfulness. And you see the word faithful, or you will see it when we read it. But when you look at verse 10, well, let's read it. Let's read the passage first. But I want you to notice the word faithful as we read. And then as we go down further in this particular passage, you may not see the word faithful, but you will see examples of faithfulness or unfaithfulness. So let's read our passage. And I'm going to ask, I don't think the Carthers made it to class this evening. So I'm going to ask Sister Catherine if she will read our verses for us, verses 10 through 13.
All right. Now, chapter 10, Luke 16, chapter 10.
No.
Luke 16. I'm sorry. Luke 16, 10.
Verse.
Correct.
Luke 10. Chapter 16, starting at
10 through 13. 10.
Yes.
Correct. Gotcha. Okay. He who is faithful, and in what is least in faith, least is faithful, also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteousness mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Okay, and then Sister Jordan.
Now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is rightly esteemed, what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery."
Amen. Thank you, readers. So that is the word of the Lord. Now that word time is in verse 16. And that reminded me, I try to say the time, the date in each class. So this is February the 20th in the year 2022, and we've gathered in the name of Jesus. Okay, so here in Luke chapter 16, let's go back up. And as I have said, back up to verse 10, one key word in this entire passage, even though the word may not show up, but the concept of it is here, is faithfulness. We notice in verse 10, now, faithfulness, we know, means to be true to. You know, that's a simple definition of it, is to be loyal to someone or something. In this case, to someone, but it may be something. who are you loyal to? So it says in this passage, we see the word faithful showing up over and over again. In verse 10, let's count these faithfulness. It says, he who is faithful, that's number one, in what is least, is faithful also in much. And then we go to an opposite. It's like a seesaw here, back and forth. So we first have, he who is faithful in what is least is also in what is least is faithful also in much. Seesaw. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful, there it is for the third time, that word faithful. And it's saying, on the basis of verse 10, verse 10 lays it down. Verse 10 says, if you're faithful in what is least, you'll be faithful in what is much. If you're unfaithful or unjust in what is least, what is little, what you may consider unimportant, if you're unfaithful in the least, you'll also be unfaithful in the much. And then this word, therefore. And when you see a therefore in scripture, it's always saying, let me tell you why I just said what I say. So the therefore, what is the therefore? Therefore. Well, verse 11 lets us know, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, or money, or riches, things of this world, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? Question on the table. So Jesus is asking them and us to examine ourselves. Have you been faithful in the unrighteous mammon? If you've been faithful, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, things that God has given us down on this earth to be stewards over, you know, everything we have, God has committed to us to be stewards over. We are laborers for God. So we're going to have to give an account of our stewardship one day. And that's what this is about, being faithful in stewardship. So verse 11 had that third word, third time the word faithful shows up. Verse 11, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Question for you to ponder and to be answered. And if you have not been faithful, there's the fourth time the word faithful shows up. So that word faithful shows up 1, 2, 3, 4 times in these three verses. So we get it. It's a key word, being faithful. Verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Ultimately, that's talking about God committing to us true riches. And then he comes down, verse 13, no servant, and this is summing things up now. And this is a spiritual law, as I have said on last week. Jesus is not varying. You know, a law is a law, especially God's laws. God's laws remain. So verse 13, whereas man changes laws and things. But verse 13, spiritual law, no one, no servant can serve two masters. So you see now, we're talking about, like I mentioned, the seesaw, the back and forth, the back and forth. Well, what's the back and forth? Well, it was faithful and unfaithful. It was just and unjust. It was least and it is much. So you see the seesaw of the scripture. And then in verse 13 now, it's like the seesaw is going to balance out here. And it says, no one can serve two masters. In other words, you're going to have to get off that seesaw. You're going to go one way or you're going to go the other way. There are two masters, ultimately. So who are those two masters? Well, you all know the answer to that. The two masters are God, and then it would be Satan, the devil, the world, the flesh, yourself. So the two masters are God, the two master, ultimately God is master of all. But here in this scripture is letting us know that there are two masters and you cannot serve both. No one can serve both masters. No servant can serve two masters. Well, why come we can't? Because it tells us here in verse 13, here comes the because. And remember I said when you see the word for in scripture, it's usually answering the question, why or why not? Why come I can't serve two masters? What do you mean I can't serve two masters? Well, this is why you can't serve two masters. Because you will either, he will hate the one and love the other. And that would be ultimately, you can't serve them both. You're either going to fall on one side or the other. You're either going to hate one and love the other. And notice there's no degrees in there. It's love or hate. There's no lukewarmness in this. There's no wishy-washy. It's love or hate. Now, if you think about it, what does God require? Well, God requires that we love him. That's the first and great commandment, is that we love God. We are to love God. And we are to have no other idols above him, no one above the Lord. He commands first place. God commands first. And so verse 13 says, no servant can serve two masters. You're going to hate the one and love the other, or else you're going to be loyal to the one and despise the other. So you notice there, there's no half loving here. There's no half hating here. You're going to fall on either loving God or not loving God. And the scripture says you'll love one and hate the other. So it boils down to either you're going to love God or you're going to hate God. Those are strong words. I mean, just to say hate God, but that's what it is. You either love him or you hate him. So the question would be, what side are we on? Well, I want to publicly say, I love God. I love the Lord. Well, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said. If you really do love me, Velma, keep my commandments. See, that's a surefire test of loving God, is do you want to do what he said do? Do you want to be, and you all, when I'm talking to myself too. I'm not just, you know, pointing the finger at you. This word of God cuts all of us. So do we want to do and be all that God wants us to do and be? Well, for me, the answer is yes. Now, I quickly say I'm not there yet. I fall short of God's glory. I'm growing in grace. You know, I've got a long way to go, but my heart's desire, and this should be your heart's desire, is Lord, increase my love for you. Because that's what it's all about when it's all said and done, is loving God. And he told us, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, your mind. Now notice that word all. You all know I like that word all. He said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Well, all our heart. I have to kind of pause at that. I love the Lord. It's easy to say I love him with all of my heart until I'm tempted with something, until I'm tempted with a choice. Do I want to do what I want to do, or do I want to do what God wants me to do? And those temptations are coming all along, tempting us and trying us and testing us. Sometimes we fail. But if we're truly born of God and truly love him, we repent of that and we ask the Lord to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he cleanses us, he forgives us, and we get up and we get stronger. We get stronger through trials and through temptations. So verse 13 is saying you can't serve two masters. You're either going to hate the one and love the other, or else you'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. And now with an exclamation point, even though there's not an exclamation point in my Bible, but I say with an exclamation point, you cannot serve God and money. Now, when we think of the context of the scripture, and if you were to go back on your own, and I encourage you to go back on your own, Jesus has been talking quite a while about money, about riches, about choices. He went into the Pharisee's house and he talked with them and he gave them examples and he let them know about choosing him. You know, Jesus has been working with them, giving them parables, giving them examples, urging people to come to him, especially now these Pharisees, but not only the Pharisees, all of humanity. And when he says you cannot serve God and money, do you know a lot of people try to serve both? And I think a lot of us at sometime in our life have tried to serve God and not, and God and ourselves, God and money, God and the world. Well, it can't be done, because what's going to happen when you think of those two, let's say those two gods, Satan being the God of this world, small g, and God being the almighty God, the everlasting God. So we don't have no confusion about that. But if you try to serve both gods, of which a lot of people, they talk about God. You see it all the time. It's splattered all over television. There's a lot of people talking about God. And then you turn around and you look at their actions. And you're like, well, something ain't right here. It ain't quite lining up. Now, you say you love God, but you hating your brother. You say you love God, but you not doing what he says. And so that's someone trying to serve both masters, trying to serve both gods. And why is that? Because a lot of people know there's a God and they want to serve God to a degree. They don't want to serve him with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, all their strength. But they want to acknowledge God. Oh, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. A whole bunch of folks say that. I believe, I believe, I believe. But we know what the Bible says about that. The demons believe. They believe and tremble. But that does not equate to salvation, saving grace, coming out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And so this passage is letting us know you have to choose sides. Either you're going to be on God's side, or else you're going to be on this world's side, mammon's side. Now see those dividing lines in this passage? So when we go on down now in verses 14 through 18, keep in mind the context. Now we come to, all of a sudden, the context. Jesus is still talking to the same group of people. He's been talking to these people at least from the time that we were in that Pharisee's house. I think at least from that time, and chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 1, when he went into one of the rulers of the Pharisee's house. So we know Jesus talked with them for quite a while, but when my eye falls on chapter 14, verse 25, we can see now 14:25 says, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them. So we know Jesus was traveling there. But we know now when we go to chapter 15, here comes all the tax collectors and the sinners. They drew near to hear him. That's one group of people. It's a lot of people, but that's a group. We've talked about them. This is the group called sinners. This is the group of people that came, they drew near. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. So these people are still with the Lord. They still want to hear what he has to say. But alongside of them is this other group. And they've been there quite a while as well. But here these groups are together. And in verse 2, chapter 15, verse 2, the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So we've read this verse almost every week for the last several weeks. So you can see the two opposing sides there, the dividing line. The dividing line is one group draws near to hear Jesus. The other line is, the other group is, they heard Jesus. A lot of people hear the word of God. A lot of people draw near. A lot of people go to church for all kinds of reasons. And you have to think of that on a wide scope. I'm not talking about any particular church, but there are a lot of religious people, lots and lots of religious people that don't love the Lord, but they love religion. By religion, I mean whatever molds they have come up under, you know, to make God fit into what they want God to be. So there's these two groups here. The one side, the sinners that drew nigh to hear, and then the other side is the Pharisees. They're also hearing the Lord. They're hearing too, but they're not receiving. And God requires that we not only hear, but we receive. And they say in verse 2, this man receives sinners. And so what have they done there? They have said, I'm not a sinner. He's talking to them folks over there. I'm not a sinner. And see, this is the problem. This is what we're going to see all along that comes to a head. You can't serve both. They're trying to serve God and themselves. You've got to be either acknowledge that you are a sinner that needs a savior, or acknowledge that you are just plain old gonna be lost. And I've heard people say that. I've heard, it's a sad thing to hear, but I've heard people say, and you probably have too, they want to go to hell. They don't know what they're saying. So anyway, here in verse 2, here's our two sides. And I'm just trying to bring out these lines, these dividing lines. Now, when we go back to Luke chapter 16, the scene changes per se. We're still at the same place. But verse 14, chapter 16, I'm back in chapter 16 now, verse 14. Now the Pharisees, so now it's like Jesus repositions his body. Well, not his body, but he's going to change who he's relating this passage to, these verses. And it says in verse 14, now the Pharisees, so we're getting ready to talk about them, who were lovers of money. Now, keep in mind, Jesus has been talking about their love for money. He's been saying that for quite a long time, even when he went into the rich man's house, even when he was talking about, you all remember the man that had the barns, and he had so much wealth that he said, my barns can't hold all that I have. What shall I do? And he tore down the barns, and he thought he was going to build bigger barns until death came that night. And so we've been talking about riches all along. And so I encourage you to go back sometime in Luke and reread what we have already covered. In verse 14, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money. Now you got to keep in mind, they've been there listening all along. They've been listening to what Jesus said. And that's why I said a lot of people listen, but they don't want to obey and they don't want to submit. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers, that's the key word. Money in and of itself is not evil. The Bible says it's the love of money. That's the root of all evil, is loving money. We thank God for the money he's given us, however much or little it may be. We thank God. We need it to live on this earth. So money is not the issue. The issue is, are you serving money? And see, that's what was going on in verse 13. You can't serve God and money. Verse 14, now the Pharisees, they got their attention. I mean, they've been listening all along to everything Jesus said. But when he said in verse 14, now verse 14 says, the Pharisees, they were lovers of money. And don't run over that. They loved money. They also heard all these things, everything Jesus is saying. And when he got to saying, when he said what he's getting ready to say, verse 14, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they submitted to him. And they said, well, Jesus, you know you're right. We do like some money now. No, they didn't say that. What did they do? They hardened their hearts. They stiffened their necks. And they kicked in their heels or dug in their heels. I think that's how it goes. They dug in their heels and they got what? More rebellious, more stubborn. We will not bow to the word of God. We don't care what you say, Jesus. We gonna love our money. Whole bunch of folks, they could come back today, they'll tell you, don't serve money. It's a failing God. And so verse 14, the Pharisees, they were lovers of money. They heard what Jesus said, and they derided him. Now, I want you to notice the word deride, and that would be good for you to do your own study on the words. And people ask me, how do I study? My studying is very simple. Basically, it boils down to, first of all, prayer. First of all, read the Bible. And I mean the Bible, the whole Bible. Keep reading the Bible. Prayer, read the Bible, a dictionary, a good collegiate dictionary, and a good concordance. Those are my basic tools. I don't spend a lot with a lot of commentaries and stuff. The older I've gotten spiritually, I'll say, for Velma, is all I can do to keep just reading the Bible and comparing scripture with scripture. And that's, you know, everybody has to study their own way. And the Spirit leads people different ways at different times. And that's where I am now where I am in life right now on my journey. So here, they derided him. Now, why I thought of the dictionary is looking up that word deride and thinking about the word deride. And if you have a good, the thesaurus, where the thesaurus is giving you words for words. I mean, it's giving you a bunch of synonyms. sources, and that gives you antonyms too. But they derided him. Well, you might slide over that word. I need to speed up how I'm talking. You might slide over that word and miss the weightiness of it. Now, I want you to keep in mind, where are we headed? Where is this passage headed? Because we haven't heard this for quite a while. But now Jesus is on the way to Calvary. And this is going to come up on the scene now. It's going to rise right in this text, because this text is transitional. It's moving. It's sweeping in and it's reaching out. It's a transitional passage. And when they derided him, and some of the words are, and my mom happened to be at my house and she was reading off some of these words to me, deride, mockery. Now picture this. They're mocking Jesus. Now you can't mock quietly. So it's orally and verbally that they mock Jesus. Laughter, and not laughing with, but laughing, quote, at, because nobody really laughs at God, but they're mocking the Lord Jesus. At this point, because this is a pivotal point in scripture, there, my words are mocking, laughing, scorning, you know, scorning, sneering. And you know, sneer. You've seen people sneer with their noses and make faces. If they don't like something, they make faces. Kids know how to do that good too. So do a whole bunch of adults. You let the right thing come and a whole bunch of sneering. And then one definition is, turn the nose up at, and facial expressions, all kinds of facial expressions, expressing what? We don't like you, Jesus, and we don't care what you say. We reject you. Why? Why would you reject such love? Because you can't serve two masters. You're either going to serve God, or else you're going to serve mammon, the world, yourself. You got to choose one or the other. And so they choose. Now, it could have been maybe one person or two or maybe a few more came out of that group and heard the word of the Lord. But as far as the whole, they rejected the Pharisees. They rejected God's word. And so verse 14, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, they also heard the same things as other folks heard that drew near. They heard these things and they derided him. And that's vocally and outwardly. Outwardly and vocally. No secret now. It's out on the table. We don't like you at all. And he said to them, now Jesus is going to drive the nail in now. And he said to them, but his nail is always still with love. But you know, the Bible says, even in Genesis, my spirit will not always strive with man. God's not going to put up with man's foolishness forever. His spirit will not always strive with man. And we've seen Jesus striving, giving them arguments per se, giving them examples, the lost sheep and all of that, giving them examples about the man with the barns and all these different things. That's why you need to go back in Luke to reread to see what we've covered. And they deride him. And then verse 15, now Jesus says, and he said to them, you are those, points the finger now, the word of God, and he has every right to do so. You are those who justify yourselves before men. So he calls them what? Self-righteous. That's their problem. They're self-righteous. They justify themselves before men. They just want to fool people. And if they can, fool God. So they're out to fool people. And it's not about so much what God thinks. They're trying to impress people. That's a sad thing too. But we've all been there in certain degrees throughout life. But this group, their whole thing was they justified themselves. So where the Lord would say, you need to repent. They would say, I ain't the sinner. It's them folks over there. They're the sinners. So they're justifying themselves before men. They couldn't justify themselves before God because they were not just. Thank you, Catherine. You justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. And God does know the heart. You can fool people, and you can't fool them all the time, but you can fool people. Like we just read about that unjust steward. He went a long way fooling folks, but eventually it came to a head. Verse 15, and he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. There's some opposite words there. There's some seesaw words there. The opposite words are what is highly esteemed among men, what men count good, and what men, humanity, or masses of humanity, what they count good and what they highly esteem, what man highly esteems in general here, talking about sinful mankind, is an abomination in the sight of God. And so those are opposite words, highly esteemed. You know, that's to give all the applause to and all the praise to. Oh, you're so great, so great, so great. Well, what the world calls so great, so great, so great, God calls abominable. God calls, that's the thing that will send you to hell. It is an abomination in the sight of God. Verse 16, and that's who we should be trying to live for, is the Lord. Not trying, but living for the Lord. Verse 16. Now here's this wide verse. And remember, Jesus is talking to these Pharisees, but everyone else is listening. In verse 16, here comes the wideness of the word of God. And verse 16 gives this overall outline of the entire Old Testament. Verse 16, it ushers us into the New Testament. Verse 17 is going to carry us on up to the end of the age. So that's why I say this is a wide scripture. It's far and it's reaching, covering time and going into eternity. Now, verse 16, we have the divisions of the Old Testament. Now, keep in mind, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they specialized in the law. If anybody knows the law, we know the law. Well, they didn't know it. And they surely weren't keeping it. But that's what they specialized in, is the law. And Jesus comes back here in verse 16, and he says, the law, meaning that Old Testament law, those books of Moses, the law there, the law and the prophets. So that's divisions of the Old Testament, is the law and the prophets. So you could say Old Testament. But let's look at another verse. Let's go to Luke 24, chapter 24, which is the last chapter in this book. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now, we're going to cover this passage this evening one way or the other. Luke chapter 24, I'm trying to turn these pages. Luke chapter 24, and let's look at Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Luke 24:44. Now, Luke 24:44 is somewhat like what we just saw in Luke 16. It's the whole Bible in here. Luke 16 said the law and the prophets. But when you get to Luke 24:44, it says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the, number one, the law of Moses. Number two, the prophets. Number three, the Psalms. And it's all about Jesus. So that means you can talk about Jesus from any passage in the Bible. Jesus can be glorified from any passage in the Bible, because all the law, all the prophets, all the Psalms concern him. So I want to show you those divisions there of the Old Testament. Now, there are further divisions. I'm not going to go into all of that. I'm just going to keep it right here with Luke, where we're studying. So verse 16. We have about 7 minutes. Verse 16, the law. Now, he's talking to these so-called specialists of the law. They already didn't like him. But now, since y'all such specialists of the law, Jesus, and now, like I told you, we are headed to Calvary. The scene and the tenor of the text is changing. There will not be a lot more pleading as Jesus has been pleading. Given all these parables, even though there will be more parables, but the tenor is changing, because now we're going to see now, and you see it right in this text. It's a transitional text. It's moving in time. It says the law and the prophets. So that's one group. We know the law, Old Testament. We know the prophets, Old Testament. But then here comes time word, and time word says, where until John. So now we've moved, the scripture has moved us from the Old Testament, law and prophets. That lasted how long? How long did the law and the prophets last? Well, God's word is still good. You know, that's another element, you know. But as far as God's dealings in different dispensations in time, the law and the prophets were until John. So now baton has passed. The baton is passing. Even in this text and all of what we're studying now, headed to Calvary, baton is passing. The law and the prophets were until John. Okay, you all got it? Old Testament gives way to New Testament. And there was a lot going on in that Old Testament. You know, there was a lot of shadows and a lot of types going on in that Old Testament. But he eventually gave way to what? John. And this is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. This is John the Baptist. You all remember, this is John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, where does he show up? Well, he shows up, he's prophesied in the Old Testament. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. So he was prophesied back in Isaiah. But he shows up, John the Baptist shows up in New Testament. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I hope you all are with me. Where we're talking about now the baton, law and the prophets, Old Testament, that went until John. Well, John, when you go to your New Testament, when you read the Bible, it opens what? Here comes John the Baptist on the scene. So where are we now? Well, we are where? We're in between. We're in between. We're in between what? Thank you, Catherine. We're in between Old Testament and New Testament. It's a bridge. It's a bridge now. Moving on. The time is moving on. Dispensations is moving on. God is moving on in his dealings with man. So we're in our last 4 minutes. So I'm going to go on and say as much as I can. And next week, Lord willing, we are going to go ahead and start with verse 19. There's always more that can be said. The way God's word is, it will come back around. That's one thing about God's word. It's one book. It'll be back around one way or the other. And then you all know to do your own studying, your own praying, your own reading. Verse 16, the law and the prophets, they were until John. They were until John. Since that time, now see, we see moving now, because John the Baptist has come and gone. Come and went. He's gone. Since that time, what's going on now? In the age we're in. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And we heard preaching today. Some of us, most of us, if we didn't hear today, we hear preaching. Why is that? Because this is the time we're in, this age of preaching. And everyone is pressing into it. The word of God is going to press you. You're going to come one way or the other. You can't serve both. You're going to be pressed into it. Last few minutes here. Pressing into it. And it is easier. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of God's law to fail. In other words, you're going to bow to the word of God or it's going to break you. It's easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail. And then here comes this verse that caused me some questioning and praying. Whosoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. Well, keep in mind, what is this all about? It's about being faithful to God. You can't serve both. You're going to divorce one, you're going to love one, or you're going to hate the other. And so this verse in here is not a study on God's word on divorce, what God has to say about marriage. There are plenty of verses about that, chapters about that in the Old Testament and in the New. But this is not talking about, even though it mentions marriage and divorce, but notice in there that committing adultery. And that comes down to, you've got to be faithful to God. That's what it is. So who are you going to be faithful to? Who are we married to? So our time is up. It's wrapping up. And that is our passage for today. I want you to, on your own, if you would read James, the book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And you'll see in that verse where the word adultery is used in connection with serving other gods. So you'll see how that has to do with trying to serve the world and God. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And you have covered through your word today, Lord. You have taken us high and low and broad and wide. Time and eternity. Dispensations. And it's all headed for, and it's all headed to, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I ask you to take my feeble teaching and use it to your glory and to your praise. I lift it up to you. I lift up these people to you as well as myself. And we ask you, Lord, help us to be faithful to you and carry us through this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
I hope to see everyone next week. And next week we will start Luke chapter 16, starting at verse 19. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Velma. Love you.
Love you, Sister Barbara. I see you on camera sometime at Salem, the back of your head. That's that, Barbara. God bless everyone.
God bless you too.
Have a wonderful week, everyone.
Amen.
Amen.
Ponder the passage we just read. It was a lot.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. God bless you for everyone. The teaching.
Thank you. Thanks the Lord. Good to see everyone.
Praise God.
Have a good week.
Have a good week.
See you next week.
Have a good week. See you next week, Lord willing. Amen. Amen. Okay, here we go. DJ, I'm not sure who DJ is. DJ, do you mind saying who you are? If you don't want to, that's okay too. We're glad you're with us. God bless everyone. Hope to see you next week. Bye-bye. That's what the kids say.